Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Jawanza. I'll be your host for this evening, and I'm very excited again, as always. Whenever I have an opportunity to come and speak with everybody and to bring and share individuals, life changers, and life savers, then that's an honor for me to do. And, again, if you've been following the show, you know that once a month we're privileged to have on as our special guest a brother who fits the bill. I mean, he's a life changer and a life saver. And if you're not careful and you're listening tonight, you may learn something, So I want you to open your ears, open your hearts, open your minds, and get ready to sit at the feet of a master healer, okay? Somebody that has done it. I always say that since probably about 20 years ago, at least in the black community, holistic health wasn't really a priority, and it seems like within the last couple of decades, it's been growing in our community. And I'm just thankful to have been able to connect with one of my mentors, as it relates to holistic health, somebody who I listen to and really am honored to have had years and years of listening to and receiving from a brother with his pedigree, his knowledge and his wisdom, and again, I'm very, very fortunate because when you're on a path and your path is holistic health and spirituality, and you're blessed to be able to connect with people who, you can just actually pick up the phone and call if ever you have a question. If there's ever something going on in your life, a health challenge, you can just pick up the phone and call this individual. Or even if it's a health challenge that somebody else is going through or that you're not going and you're not personally going through, and you can just pick up the phone and call this person and ask them, and they are open to share their information with you. I mean, there's a scripture in the Bible, freely you have received, freely give, and it appears that this brother lives by that motto. So again, I'm very fortunate enough to bring to you another life changer and a life saver. And you'll see why I call him a life saver in a minute. But I want to just first take a moment and welcome all of the new listeners to Health, Wealth, and Divine. I want to just say welcome, welcome, welcome. Every time somebody actually follows the show, I'm able to see that a new person has followed the show. And we're up to like 126 people now that have followed this show, that actually want to be alerted every time that there's a show. They have been notified that the show's coming on, who the guest is, what the topic is, and when the show is going to be, date and time. So I just want to take a moment and say thank you to everybody that's followed the show, and invite everybody that's listening, if you haven't followed the show, you can do that by just following the show on Blog Talk Radio, and you will be alerted of the guest, the date, the time, and the topic, okay? Because that says that you're interested in holistic health, that you want to know who's coming on next, when they're coming on. And so I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please spread the word, because there are a lot of people out here that need this information, and you can't get it if you don't know where to find it. Well, you can find it here, okay? So without further ado, I want to just welcome you and introduce you to my special guest for the day is King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. And you'll see why I called him a master healer in just a moment. He's been on this path for over 38 years. I mean, that's a long time to be doing something and to be doing it effectively. And during that time, he's seen a lot, he's experienced a lot, and he's bringing all of that experience and all of that wisdom and all of that knowledge to this conversation that we're going to be having today. So let me just get my guest up. Brother Coy, welcome. It's always a pleasure, my brother, to hear your voice again. I'm ready for another powerful show, and I know my listeners are ready as well. Thank you for being my guest again.
I say good evening to you and your family and the audience. It's good to be back with you again, and hopefully we'll have something to say tonight to help somebody. As an add-on, I would like to say I would suggest that, when you say Blog Talk Radio, people may not know what you're talking about. They may not know how to do that. It's like foreign to them. So you may have to explain, how do you actually do a blog, find a Blog Talk Radio station and tune in. But that's just a suggestion.
Okay, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's a good point, because if somebody's listening by phone, then you're absolutely correct. Then, yes, you go to, you can actually pull up, you can just Google Health, Wealth, and Divine. Health, Wealth, and Divine, or either Jwanza for Life. If you just Google Jwanza, the number 4, and Life, then it's going to direct you to the Health, Wealth, and Divine link on the internet, and that way, then that will take you straight over to the archives, and you'll see all of the shows, and there's a button that you click, and it's just a button that says follow, okay? And once you click that, then automatically you will be set up to receive notifications. Every time I do a show, you will be notified of the guest, the date, the time, and the topic. So if you're listening by phone and you don't know how to do that, again, all you have to do is just Google just Jwanza for Life, make it real easy, or Health, Wealth, and Divine, either or, and it's going to take you to the Blog Talk station, and then you can just, it will be this particular format. It will be Health, Wealth, and Divine, all of the shows that I've done, and you can actually follow that. Just click follow, and then you will be notified every time there's a guest, every time there's a new guest, a topic, you'll be notified of the date and the time. So you don't want to miss these shows, okay? So, because you're going to love this show today, and I guarantee you, once you hear this show today, if you've never heard Brother Coy before, you're going to want to hear him again. And he comes on once a month, every second Thursday of the month. He's my special guest. And for the last few months, we've actually been doing a series on the fundamentals of health, the fundamentals of health. There are some fundamentals that come along with maintaining your health, achieving it if you've lost it, maintaining it if you've got it. So you want to make sure that you understand the fundamentals. There are just some things that are fundamental to being healthy, and so we've been discussing that. If you missed last month's show, I encourage you to go back and listen to that awesome show on fasting, okay? That's a health fundamental. Okay, that's one of the fundamentals of health. We did another show prior to that on digestion, elimination, and assimilation, not necessarily in that order, okay? But you want to go back and check the archives out and listen to that show as well, and then you'll be brought up to speed. Today, we're going to be talking about herbs, H-E-R-B-S, herbs. We're going to be talking about herbs. That's a fundamental of health. You need to know and understand about herbs and what they are and why you need to know that. Well, Brother Coy, you have a very important and interesting connection to herbs. You understand and found out how they worked firsthand. Again, to all of the new listeners, we've had several new listeners join this week who might not have ever heard your testimony before. Could you share with them how you came to the holistic health piece and how herbs became a part of, how you became familiar with herbs actually during that time when you were exposed to the holistic health path?
Well, let's go back to 1980. I had just graduated from law school. I just wanted to take a break and get some rest and relaxation, and I decided to go home and spend some time with my parents. I got home one day, and my mother came home later that day from the doctor and said that the doctor told her to go to Duke University Hospital as soon as she could, because he didn't have, in Lewisburg, they didn't have the facility to actually do the diagnostics that she needed to determine exactly what to do or what was wrong. So the next morning, my father and I got up. We rode up to Duke University Hospital, Duke Hospital in Durham, and she was admitted to the hospital, and they started doing tests, and we sit waiting most of the day, and at the end of the day, they came out and say, well, we're going to keep her. We don't know exactly what we're going to do yet, but come back tomorrow, we'll talk. So my dad and I went home, came back the next day, and they said that they had found cancer in the breast, the colon, and the liver, and that they would do what they could to make her comfortable as they could. So I guess she stayed there for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so, and they finally came up and said that we're gonna have to take this chemotherapy. We've done all we could do, and we still can't do anything to make it better. So we're going to give you chemotherapy and talk it over and see what your family say and let us know. So I was there, and my mother asked me, and I was kind of surprised because, you know, I'm not a doctor. I didn't know nothing about being a doctor, and I didn't know nothing about nutrition. She asked me, well, what would I do if I was her? I say, well, if it was me, I think I would probably just get home and get up and get ready to meet my maker. So, And she said, okay, we talked and talked and talked, and eventually she decided to go home. So a couple of days later, we was on our way back home with her stuff, and at that time, I felt an obligation that I needed to do more, do whatever I could to make her comfortable, because she was getting into this state of resentment and you know, why me, that kind of situation. And it took about a week to get through that. And after she decided to leave, I say, well, it's time to go to work. So I started studying and learning about all I could, and ran into a company called Nature Sunshine, who had the information on healing and exercise and the herbs, pretty complete package in terms of alternative healing. I learned as much as I could, and I used the herbs that they had available, in addition to the fasting the praying, the fasting, and the changing of the diet, and getting rid of the animal fat, or the things that we know we shouldn't be doing. We worked on getting as best program that we could together to do this. So we were working on the whole process of not knowing not having availability to the herbs. I did know that honey would be a good medicine to start with. It was recommended. I got that from somebody, but it just so happened I was on my way back to D.C. one day. I stopped in Richmond for some reason, and I was walking down the street, and this fellow walked up to me and handed me a pack of paper and say, you should come to this meeting. And I said, okay. I put it in my pocket, didn't think about it. I got all the way back to D.C. I opened it up, and I said, God, what is this? And I think a meeting was that next Monday night or something. And I went right down, and I got involved, and I learned, got all the information that I could, and I started using it with my mother, and it began to work. We learned how to fast. We learned how to do enemas. We learned how to juice, all of those things. Mm-hmm. We started applying, and lo and behold, she was getting better. And probably another month later or so, she went back to the doctor, and they were surprised that she was still alive. And they say, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And since that day, I've been trying to tell everybody I could that you don't have to be sick and you don't have to die sick. And my mother lived 10 years after that and died cancer-free. So I was hooked, and I've been doing this ever since. And anybody that comes along and need help or want to listen, I give them all I got. And if they follow directions and can apply themselves a little bit, we can help most anybody. And we've helped a lot of people along the way, and hopefully I'll help a lot of more, not more. But that's kind of how I got involved in this, and that's what I do, and that's why I still do it today.
You know what's interesting, Brother Coy, is that, you know, again, you mentioned that you asked your mother what she would do, or she actually asked you what you would do, and you said, you know, hey, you know, if it were me, I think I'd probably go home and get ready to meet my maker, which she actually took you up on that. You know, I mean, you never had known anybody to come back from chemo. You didn't want to see her exposed to, you know, the pain and
agony.
Stuff that, you know, that comes along with that.
Yeah.
But you said that at some point she decided to live. What was there something that in particular that sparked that change of heart? Because she had taken your advice. She was going home to prepare to get ready to meet God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, it dawned on her, not yet. You know, I ain't ready to meet him yet. I want to live. You know, was there something that sparked that actually brought about that change of heart?
I think the praying primarily, and just being with her in the moment. because she had this, you know, that's the process of a cancer patient. They go into this resentment, then they accept the disease, and then they either decide to live or die. And because, you know, we really didn't have access to a lot of hospitals or doctors, and we did medicines that we did have. We basically were able to go out in the fields and in the woods and pick and choose. And so she had a little bit of something to grab onto to say that maybe this can work. And when she decided to live, and with the support of the herbs and the supplements that we got and from the trees and from the plants and from anywhere we could find some medicine, I think she was willing to try it, number one, and she decided to live. I mean, that is really the key to any condition that's terminal. You either succumb to it or you fight it or you do what you can to overcome it. But to do that, you almost have to do a complete 180 degree. Maybe we didn't have to do a complete 180 degree since we did have some information about the plants and the herbs. That's what we always use. But in terms of the medicine and the medication, I think that convinced her also, because the medications that they give you when you have cancer, it's not a good feeling. It's like the medications are going to kill you if the disease don't. And usually that's what happens. The medications kill you and not the disease. So I think her not liking the medications and other things that were we did, like the fasting and praying, I think that kind of brought her around to the decision that maybe she can beat this and maybe we can make a difference in here and not succumb to this so easily. And then, too, we're kind of a religious family, and you got to have faith. And, you know, sometimes you don't see everything that you need to do, but if you got a little bit of faith, you can put your trust in something greater than you, and you can make quite a difference in your life. I think all of that kind of played into her making up her mind to live. But the main thing is I was there with her. We had to go through all of that, and we had to reconcile that so that we could move forward. And I think that's important whenever you have a terminally ill patient. You got to just be with them in the moment. Take them wherever they go and just be with them and try to bring them back when they go too far and tell them that it's not what you think it is. You know, you see, don't believe what you see and all of that. And you can overcome it. And I think all of that played a part in it.
You know, I guess when it comes to dealing with people with certain conditions, especially those that the doctors have deemed terminal, you have to be very delicate, I'm sure, when you're dealing with people, because they're the ones with the condition and maybe not you, you know. And so it's easy to give advice, you know, it's easy to say, okay, well, hey, take this, do this, stop doing that, stop eating this, start taking this, you know. But for the person that is dealing with the condition, I mean, they're not just hearing the information that you're sharing, they're actually feeling in their body certain sensations, you know, certain, whether it's pain, you know, whether it's fatigue, you know, whether it's whatever it is that, you know, is coming along with the dis-ease, they're actually feeling it. And when you're trying to share certain information with them, you could be talking to somebody and their head feels like it's about to explode. You know, they could be having a migraine at that time, being caused on one of the side effects of the dis-ease. They could be in pain while you're trying to share the information with them, and they're trying to hear you, but their body's racked with pain. You know, they might be dealing with fear, you know, at the same time that you're sharing with them. So, you know, I think, I'm sure you had to be extremely delicate with your mother and even other people when they come to you, because, again, I mean, those of us who are on the holistic health path, I mean, and I share this information with people on holistic health because I'm sure that it works. You know what I mean? I haven't had any cancers or anything like that to say that I personally have been cured of cancer, but I know it worked for my knee, you know. But I'm saying that you have to be very delicate when sharing with people, because you could be talking to somebody and their emotional state is maybe just on a totally different level. And sometimes when we, the people that are sharing the information, wonder why other people that we might share it with can't hear us, you know, we have to put ourselves in their shoes, because again, you know, and have some compassion, because it's their body that's going through the issue and not ours. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you also have to add that oftentimes they're on medications, and that medications could cloud their judgment, and you really need to pick the right time and to really get into some discussions when they're at their most lucid moments. And that also helps. But, yeah, it is important to oftentimes just to hold their hand and just be there oftentimes. Maybe not with a lot of suggestions, but if you know what to do, then you can maybe, you know, get up and just make a cup of tea and say, start with it. We'll have a cup of tea. And, you know, kind of bring them through it and bring them out of it, and keep them as keep the effects of the medication as down as much as you can, because it's impossible to almost function with that medication that they give you, and you have to do something to for them. If you're not going to use a lot of the medication, then you have to find ways to ease whatever their conditions are. So you have to, yeah, it's a very delicate situation, but it kind of comes naturally once you get into it. You know, you just kind of work your way through it and start doing some of the stuff that you know to do to make the transition. And hopefully something you do will spark some energy in their brain to say, hey, maybe I can do this. And they'll say, okay, let's do this. And you're on your way then. You can begin to work with them. And if they work with you, you can do a lot just on that agreement. You can really make some changes.
Well, everybody, tonight we're going to be talking about herbs. And Brother Coy, I know that you are the person to talk to when it comes to herbs. I know that at some point, you know, in during your testimony, you shared that you came across a company, and then you started learning about the herbs and the body and how the body works. And in a previous interview, previous shows, you shared that during at some point during the time that you were working with your mother, you ran across a herb called Padiaco that had a reputation for having emptied the cancer wards in Mexico. And so you actually got a hold of that herb, and you started to use it and apply it and work with your mother with it with fantastic results. So I know you know about herbs, but for those who don't know about herbs, what they are, what is it about herbs? What is it specifically about herbs? Because it sounds like it could be the missing link for a lot of people. What is it about herbs? What is in herbs that make them so powerful, a remedy to help people that are dealing with not just cancer, but, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, whatever, whatever it is that you're dealing with? What is it? And this is a rhetorical question, but there are some people that don't know. What is it? Are there substances in herbs? What are in herbs that make them so powerful?
Well, I go back to what I always say. We are a live enzyme organism, and we need live enzyme food. Now, that stretches from fruits, nuts, seeds, vegetables. But I would say vegetables are the lowest point on the food chain. Vegetables, most vegetables that we encounter in our diet or in the supermarket or wherever we get them from, they're really not, their frequency is not high enough to really do anything for the body. They may have some frequency, but it's not enough frequency to really do, like a Padiaco. You get a Padiaco, that's boom, right off the tree, it's ready to go. So I would say go from vegetables, and then you go into all the way up to the herbs. Then you're getting into the frequency of your body, and you can begin to effectuate some changes in whatever way you want to go. So most diseases come about because we get off frequency and we don't know how to get back on or not even aware that we're off frequency. So we can do something or at least educate people to say that if you have a condition, your frequency is off, and it's like tuning in on a radio. You're a little bit off the station, and you get a lot of static. You just what you're trying to do is to get on the station clear, get the station clear by just adjusting a few things, and that's what we mean by frequency, so that your body can get what it needs to heal itself. So if you wanna, I say the highest order of food is the food that God put here for us: the grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables. And I would say vegetables. Most vegetables are hybrid, or they are not complete foods. They've been made in a laboratory, most of them. The frequency is not high enough to keep you healthy and to keep you going. And now the way we grow the food is made it even more so the case that the food is more depleted because we've depleted the soil. We've done everything we know how to do to destroy this planet. And the foods that we are getting is not, the frequency is not high enough to keep us healthy and strong. So in terms of frequency, when you get into the herbs, that's a plant that is not a hybrid. It was placed here on earth, and we are losing a lot of those plants because of expansion. People are building and tearing down and digging up and burning up, and California's gone. So those kind of things are happening, and when that happened, we are losing natural plants because no one really goes out and know how to get the natural plants to the point to where they are more, you know, readily available, like in a supermarket. But oftentimes, if you have enough space, you can grow some herbs, and a herb will come from a seed, and there will always be a seed that you can plant to grow a high-frequency food. And that high-frequency food will do wonders in the body, and it is the food that God intended for us to eat, so it is a healing food. And until we can get to that place where we can get the highest frequency food that we can, our bodies are going to be in a diseased state. So first of all, that's the basis I would like to start from, is that we are live enzyme organism. We need live enzyme food, which means we have to get on the right frequency with our food if we want to stay healthy and not become diseased or sick. Now, beyond that, we would have to begin to look at really our diet in terms of exactly what should we be eating. If all you have available is vegetables, then you're going to be eating a lot of vegetables, but it may not be you still may become diseased or sick because the frequency in the vegetables are not of the stature that you need to keep the body healthy or to maintain a healthy body. So
what if the vegetables are organic? And the reason I ask that is this. I mean, so let's say if somebody's eating organic, all the vegetables they get are organic, so they're not eating anything that's genetically modified, and they're eating a lot of green leafy vegetables, which are high in chlorophyll, which is something that, you know, I assume that I don't know of any other. I mean, I'm sure you could tell me. I mean, leafy green vegetables, that's one of the highest concentrations of chlorophyll that you're going to find. Is that correct?
Well, not exactly, because if that vegetable, when I refer to a vegetable, it's really, I'm saying this is a hybrid food. It's man-made. It comes out of a lab. It's not a natural plant. So when you say vegetable, even though it may be a green salad or a green plant, it's still a hybrid. It's not a whole plant. It's still made up in a laboratory. So you have to, and we don't spend enough time separating food in a way that people understand it, and that's how we get lost in this, and we get accustomed to eating things that are really not the best things for us to eat. So we don't get this notion or this willingness to make a change in terms of what we eat, because we don't understand really what we ought to be eating, and we don't have no idea what we are eating because we're not making it and we don't know where it come from, and somebody said eat this and that's what we do. But remember, we are coming from a place of control. We have to remember everything that happens to us, someone is controlling. And if they start giving us what we need, they will no longer be able to control us. So they have brought it down to a science. They want to give you just enough food to live, but not to thrive. And we break down into these different mental conditions and physical conditions that really takes us to a place to where we are not effective, and we are just in the matrix. We're going around in circles. We get up every day and go to work and come back home. We don't think about what we are doing. We just do what we do because that's what they let us do. That's where they want you, and that's where most of us are. And if you try to break out of that, it's not easy to do that. It takes some effort and it takes some time, and you really got to really get into it and understand where you need to go with that. But once you the green leafy vegetables, most of them I say are synthetic, and if you want to really understand what they call the frequency of a plant, then you have to maybe, you know, like Google it. What is the frequency of collard, or what is the frequency of kale? And once you mm-hmm. see that it's not a whole green leafy vegetable, that is a man-made plant, then it's not going to give you the frequency you need to maintain good health. So you have to move into the herbs, and that's why you want to go into the herbs, because the herbs have a high frequency. And even though a lot of the things that we call herbs, they're not really herbs because they're synthetic. They are man-made. A lot of them are created in a laboratory. So you really have to get into this study of the plants and the seeds and make sure that you understand what the frequency of the plant is and what you can expect from that that food. Is it going to give you really what you need? And we have missed the boat on that. We have no education on it, and we don't understand when we talk about it what's going on with that. But I think it's changing, and people are becoming aware, and they're becoming more aware of what we eat. And you know, you can't talk about this without talking about Dr. Sabi, because that was his whole thing. If you know how to go into the desert or into the woods or into the forest and pick the leaves that have the frequency of your body, you are a healer. That's the healer. That's what a healer does. And if you have no knowledge of that, you will never heal anybody, and you will always be sick. And that's where we are now today, and we're hopefully not too late in terms of trying to find the plants with the frequency that the body needs to do the healing and to restore the body to health. That's kind of a simple way to say it, but that's really what it's about, and we have to learn how to make that distinction in a way that it benefits you and your family. What might be good for me may not be the same for you. What might be good for one race may not be good for another race. We have to know our frequency and what's good for us, and no one is going to tell you that because everyone wants to control you. So the best way to control somebody is control what they eat. So if you are not making it and you are not growing it, you are being controlled by what they are giving you to eat. And until you can get to a place to where you can make a change or at least become aware enough to understand that you need to make a difference, nothing is going to change.
Let's talk about pH for a moment, because again, Dr. Sabi was very, very high on pH. I think that was like the foundation, the basis of his whole position was, you know, if the pH level is 7 or above, you know, it's good. If it's below 7, then it's acidic. Could you talk about alkaline and acidic. And let's look at it from this perspective just for a moment. If it's either or, I mean, because it can't be, or neutral, okay, or maybe it might be neutral. But if it's alkaline or acidic, wouldn't that be the same barometer, for lack of a better term, for all races? You know, so for example, if a Chinese man ate something that was alkaline, it's going to help his health. It's going to increase his health or maintain his health. If a Caucasian ate something that was alkaline, it should maintain or help them obtain health as well as with any other race. Because if that's the barometer, would that change according to race?
I would say so, because we didn't all come from the same place, and we didn't all the same food is not available to everyone. So if I'm in a colder climate, I might need more acid to keep me warm. If I'm in an arid climate, a hot climate, I might need more liquid foods, more foods with more water in it to keep me cool. So,
interesting.
Generally speaking, that could be the case. Yeah, if alkaline here is alkaline there, but that's not always the case. If I'm, like I say, in the Caucasus Mountains where it's cold, I might want to eat meat because meat heats me up, and it'll make me desire or need more acidic-based foods because my environment desired that I need heat, so I eat meat. But if I'm in Africa in the middle of a jungle, I don't need to eat any meat. I just pick up a piece of fruit off a tree and bite it, and it's full of water, and that's what I need to hydrate me because I need to stay cool. So in a sense, you could say alkaline here is alkaline there, but that's not always the case. I would say that whether you're from the North Pole or below the North Pole, will separate whether or not you should have more acid or more alkaline in your body. And where we are now, I don't know, because we are close to the equator, we are probably able to survive, but we would do much better if we was in the land of our fathers, mm-hmm. where they were born and raised, and eating what they ate. But now, even if you go home, to where your fathers came from, they are not eating correctly because they got, you know, they're being controlled too. They eat what they give them, and that's mostly starch and mucus. Starch mm-hmm. turns to mucus, and it creates you're in a perpetual state of disease, and that's where most of us are now. That's why the medical profession is so big, because they deal with disease. If you talk about dealing with health, then you would have to go into and consider where did you come from, what did your parents eat, what did your mama say, and you have to kind of pay homage to your ancestors in terms of how you eat and how you live.
So when it does come to herbs, though, because I know that Dr. Sabi would say this as well, that there are some herbs that are hybrid and some herbs, or some herbs that are acidic and some herbs are alkaline.
Yeah.
So a person that's going to, you know, to hear a show on herbs and saying, okay, well, listen, I want to take my whole diet to a whole nother level. I want to start incorporating herbs. Can they just go online and Google and find what herbs are acidic and what herbs are alkaline? I mean, I know Dr. Sabi was high on burdock, yellow dock, red clover, and dandelion, to name a few. Those were all alkaline herbs. So a person shouldn't just walk into a herb shop and just start picking out, you know, herbs without knowing exactly what it is that they're getting and why.
Well, the main thing is being able to identify the herb. If most of the time, you know, in the herbal that you go into a store and buy, oftentimes it may not be what they say it is, and you have to be able to determine whether or not this is a really dandelion. Once you get past that, then yes, you can take the dandelion, and it should give you all you need to live on. All your body needs to, it should give you all, give your body all it needs to stay healthy and function properly. But you have to be able to distinguish again that the herbs make sure they are what they say they are, and then look at the frequency. You may, that's why sometimes if you have a condition, say, most conditions are blood related, so you want red clover, burdock, that kind of stuff. When the condition is maybe something other than inflammation or an immune-based disease, then there may be another herb that's better for that. But I would think that if you would take any of the herbs, you're going to get some benefit because they all give life. It's just some may be more in frequency of dealing with your condition than another.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm just, this is just very, it's very, very interesting because, again, I know that a lot of listeners to this show come to this show at different levels of knowledge as it relates to holistic health. You know, some people might be at a point where it's like, okay, well, I know I need to make some changes to my diet. I know I need to, you know, let go of the dairy, the mucus, let go of the meat, you know, and, you know, start taking more, you know, alkaline food or whatever now. But yeah, you're getting into frequency and, you know, all of this. Now, a person might ask, and rightfully so, well, how do I know the frequency of a food when I go into a store? And I mean, is there a frequency tester or something that I can use to test the frequency of this?
That is the mystery that no one ever teaches you. And until you're able to do that, you really don't know, right? So, yeah, there is a way to do it, I'm certain, other than with a, you know, I mean, you don't have to carry a big machine around and test every plant that you eat. But ideally, that's what it should be because now we don't know what we're eating. But the frequency test would be, number one, is it a hybrid? Was it made in a laboratory or is it made come off the earth? That's the first test. And if you can pass that test, then your frequency is going to be right and your alkaline acid balance is going to be right because you are giving your body what it needs.
Well, it sounds like then that one of the things that you can do is to try to eat organic, because assuming that, let's say, for example, you take a watermelon, but the watermelon has seeds, and the watermelon has seeds, okay?
Uh-huh.
But they sprayed the watermelon, you know, uh-huh, with pesticides or insecticides, but it got seeds. You know, you might think, okay, well, it's got seeds. Okay, I'm told to make sure that, you know, all the watermelons got seeds, the grapes have seeds, the oranges have seeds. Okay, they got seeds. But if they're not organic, if they've been grown under conditions where they were sprayed with pesticides and insecticides, I assume just the spraying of the insecticide and the pesticides on the food would lower the frequency of a food that would otherwise be high in frequency.
Well, in a sense, that's true. But I would say that that's why things are usually come in a shell or in some kind of covering. Now, that covering, that whole purpose of the covering is to reduce the effects of the toxicity coming from the environment on the actual food that you should be eating. That's why you peel a banana or you peel an apple. But you may not get it all off of it by then. But again, even if it's organic, you can have organic and it still not have any seeds. So
right,
you have to make a decision. do I want to eat this watermelon that may have some pesticides on it, which you can do what you can to clean it up as best you can, or do I want to eat something that I know is not natural something that I know is a hybrid? Do I want to eat something that I know is a hybrid that's not natural, that's acidic in that itself is acidic? Or do I want to at least get some alkaline food in me by eating this watermelon with seeds, even though I don't know whether or not it's been sprayed or not? That's the thinking you have to go through there. And I think however you think about it, I think it's always better to eat the wood, eat the fruit or the vegetable or the nuts with the seeds in it, as opposed to eating the ones that are out there now with no seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it may not be organic. And even organic, I don't know how, when you say organic, what that mean. Does it mean that it's, you got a big house somewhere that nothing from the environment is going to get to it, and it's going to grow in this environment pesticide-free and free from all the pollution in the air and free from everything else in the world that can be toxic? Is that what organic mean, or does it mean that they didn't put any pesticides on it?
That's my understanding, you know, that they didn't put any pesticides on it. And even when I see that, I'm a skeptical kind of guy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Even when I see a in the hat and it says organic, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of money out here to be made. So if somebody could slap a label on something and it says organic, and I know that there are people that have no problem telling you something's organic when it's not, you know.
Well, Whole
Foods
has been attacked with that several times. They've been brought up on that several times, that they've been saying things are organic and they're not. You really don't know. Unless you got a test to tell whether or not somebody sprayed it or whether or not the food is organic. Big mystery again.
I know Dr. Sabi would say you'd be healthier just to eat, drink water.
Yeah.
He would tell you drink water, just drink clean water, and you'll be fine.
Well,
just
I don't know about that today. It's hard to find clean water today. The only thing water that may be clean, the cleanest water, is distilled water. But you can't drink distilled water all the time because it's acidic.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, that's interesting. Listen, I know we're having a discussion about herbs, and I want to encourage everybody. The phone lines are lit. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate you. This can be a conversation with all of us. And that doesn't have to be just Coy and myself. If you want to talk and have a question or a comment, all you have to do is just press 1, and then you can come on and we can feel your energy as well in this conversation. My special guest is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. If you didn't hear his testimony, oh, my God, very powerful. Cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, her liver and her colon, and became introduced into herbs as a result of going through that process with her. So he knows about herbs and the power of herbs. You know, this is a very interesting discussion, again, back to the frequency piece, you know, because when it comes to everything that goes in our mouth, you know, we eat a lot of stuff. We put a lot of stuff in our mouth. I mean, we're constantly eating. If we're not eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner, we're eating in between breakfast, lunch, or dinner. We're eating snacks. I mean, people getting stuff out of vending machines, people, you know, getting all kinds of stuff. I mean, stuff that you normally wouldn't even think would harm you. Normally, you know, you figure, you know, what's a bag of potato chips? What harm can a bag of potato chips do? You know, I mean, you got some people that would look at you and tell you you were very extreme if you told them, no, I don't eat potato chips. That's got, you know, a lot of sodium and all that other kind of stuff in it. But as you get older, you know, as you get older, you really have to start paying attention to that stuff. Dr. Akmal Muakil was on last night, Brother Coy. We had a very deep discussion about, you know, great, great, great interview he did last night. And one of the things he brought up was talking about that as you reach 40 and 50, you know, just your body just has peaked in many cases and just start going down. the other way, you know. And so once you reach that point of being in your 40s and your 50s, you really have to be mindful of what goes into your mouth, more so than when you're so much younger, when you know, exercising a lot. I mean, in school, I guess they still have recess, you know, people, you know, kids are running in, they running around, you know, during their recess. Then after school, they keep running, you know, they going through the playground, playing basketball, playing sports or whatever. So a lot of stuff that you could get away with just simply because you could exercise it off, you can't get away with now. Some things today, you cannot exercise it off, and you definitely need all the help you can get when it comes to your holistic health. And if herbs are the missing link for a lot of people, if herbs can be the thing that takes your livid, as I like to call it, to another level, you know, then it would behoove you to get into researching it. Research what you're hearing today from Brother Coy. So, Brother Coy, what's the best way to consume herbs, whether it's in a tea, loose herbs, boiling it yourself, drinking the tea, or taking it in the capsule form? Do you have a preference?
Well, ideally, you want to. I think what's most important is understanding how to prepare the herbs. You really should never boil them because it brings out a different taste and it messes with the frequency when you boil them. So you want to bring the water to a boil, put the herbs in it, turn it down, and let it simmer slow for maybe a half an hour, 15, 20 minutes. Now, if they're in a capsule, you may want to take them out of the capsule because most capsules are animal hoofs, or they come from animal. Not that that's a totally bad thing, but oftentimes your body don't break that capsule down, and it messes with your bladder. It clogs up your bladder, and that's another problem that you don't want to create. So you can take it out of the capsule. If it's on a tablet, you want to make sure that you can break it down, because oftentimes those tablets are like rocks, and they don't break down, and they come out in the toilet. And if you want to you just make sure the tablet will break down. Like the only company that I know that makes a tablet, in fact, they don't even use capsules, is Wachter's Organic Sea Products. And I think that's probably the best way to take the herbs, because if you don't want to actually take the tablet and swallow it, and because of the way they conform or put together their combinations of the tablet, it will break down in the system and it will be distributed and you will be able to use it. But again, make sure that the tablet will break down. And in addition to that, you're going to have you can put it in hot water. Just bring the water to a boil, sit it, and put the tablet in, and it'll turn into a tea if you want to do that. So there are a number of ways to take the herbs, but I think the most important thing is how to prepare them. If you actually put them in boiling water, you are actually taken away from the medicinal value of the herb, and it's going to change the taste and the whole frequency of the plant. So just bring the water to a boil and just steep it. Put it in the water, let it steep for as long as you like. The longer you let it steep, maybe the better. In some cases, you may not, like a flower, like hibiscus or something, you may not want to steep it too long, because the longer you steep it, the taste gets bitter. So knowing how to prepare them, and there's plenty of books to show you to go through the process of how to prepare. But find some way that's comfortable for you. And, well, number one, find the good herbs, and then find some way, find an herb that you can break down, and then find the proper way to prepare them. And I think that would be kind of the steps you would go through in terms of taking or learning how to take or beginning to take or introducing herbs into the system. The main thing, just don't expose them to excessive heat. Anything you don't want exposed to excessive heat, even the food that you eat. That would be.
So would it be bad to use distilled water to use to boil? Because if distilled water is acidic, then I mean, would that have an effect on your body? I mean, even though you're putting herbs in the water, not boiling water, but you know, you brought the water to a boil and now you're letting the herbs steep in the water. It seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, please, that distilled water would be better for boiling or using loose herbs if you're going to steep them.
I would concur with that, because you have eliminated a lot of the chemicals that comes in the water with the using of the distilled, and it's going to be a cleaner drink that you get. So for the most part, unless there's some exceptional circumstance, the distilled water would be cleaner and easier to.
But it's acidic. But it's acidic.
It is acidic.
I mean, that was my point, that it was acidic. But you're saying that even though it's acidic, the spring water may have, and like you said, you don't even know if you're getting really spring water. So basically you're saying that distilled would be better.
Well, in terms of preparing your herbs, yeah, because remember, the herbs are alkaline, and once you put that alkaline into the distill, you're doing something then. You're going in the right direction putting the herbs that are alkaline into the distilled water. You are turning that distilled water more so into a alkaline water.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Everybody, again, we still got a few moments. If you want to talk to Brother Coy, please don't be shy. Just press 1 and I'll bring you on board. You know, one of the things that shocked me, Brother Coy, when I was doing some research on herbs, was that herbs actually contained minerals and vitamins. And that shocked me, because I didn't realize, you know, this was years ago when I was, you know, had my knee condition. I was like, I had no idea that there were herbs that had vitamins. You know, I didn't know what herbs had in them, you know. So for those who are listening, you know, herbs are filled with minerals and vitamins. So when you hear that, you know, once Coy and myself and others are very high on herbs, you know, understanding why, you can actually research a particular herb and find out what it's what's in it. You know, what's it made up of? I don't know. Did that shock you, Brother Coy, when you were finding out, doing your research on herbs? Because, and can you overdo it? I mean, with herbs, because let's say, for example, you're taking an herb that's high in a particular vitamin, and this person that's taking this particular herb that's high in this particular vitamin is also taking supplements, which may be high in a particular mineral or vitamin. Can they safely do the supplements and the herbs without fear of getting too much of a particular vitamin or mineral?
Generally speaking, yeah. But they remember that vitamins, really there's no such thing as a vitamin. Vitamins and minerals, they got to be in a whole. When we talk about food, we're talking about whole foods. When we say whole foods, it has the complex of the vitamins and minerals and everything in it. When you separate that vitamin out, it's no longer any good. You can't do much with it. It's just something you're taking that's not going to do anything for you. That is another reason why you do herbs, because the herbs is a complete food. It has the minerals and it has the vitamins that are naturally contained in the plant. So when you take an herb, it's not like taking a vitamin. You are getting the whole plant. When you take the herbs, you are just getting who knows what a vitamin is. If once you separate it out, it's really no good to the body, and it cannot be used for much of anything. In most cases, generally speaking, I won't say always, but if you are taking just vitamins, you are not getting what you need, and you can't have a separate vitamin. With the minerals, because once you put the minerals in it, it's something else. That's an herb. So remember, we are controlled. They want to control you through your food, so they break the food down into the most minute level so that you only get enough to do what you are told to do. And from there, if you start using the herbs, you'll see the difference in terms of in terms of a whole food, what the difference a whole food makes, because when you take that herb, you're going to assimilate the vitamins and the minerals that you need from the plant. That's why I like herbs much better than just a supplement. But I know we've been told that we should take vitamins and such. The only vitamin I think that may be essential to take, and it's probably other ways to do that, because there are foods now, and there are plants that are very high in vitamin C, and you could actually take the plant. I think the boa is one of them. It's high in vitamin C and high in enough vitamin C that you could actually get enough vitamin C from the plant itself, as opposed to taking the vitamin C. But we are at such a state now, and we have been deprived of so much vitamin C. Your body don't make it. You have to take it, and no one has ever told us that. And when you start taking it, you'll see your energy comes back. Everything comes back when you start taking that one vitamin. And that's the one vitamin I think that if you had to take, that's the one vitamin you should take. But if you know the plant that had high levels of vitamin C, go to that. If you can find it, go to that and take that, and you'll get the same result. So you want the whole food, and that's an herb. That's why we do herbs. That's why I'm big on herbs. It's a whole food. We don't have to worry about what we're getting, how much we're getting. Your body will use what it needs and pass off what it don't. And even if you take vitamins with it, it won't matter much. You can still your body will just pass it off. If you don't, if your body can't use it, it'll just pass it off.
What about herbs for detoxing, or herbs for, you know, different conditions? Somebody may have be dealing with diabetes, or somebody else might be dealing with cancer, or somebody else might be, you know, dealing with wanting to lose some weight or something. I know, for example, Cascara Sagrada has been known to help move the bowels. Would you recommend that for, you know, cause again, like Dr. Mulkey was talking about last night, he was talking about waste, you know, that oftentimes when people think that it's the stomach that is protruding, it's actually one of the small intestines, I believe he said, that's actually is what is being protruded, and it's just waste. So would you recommend an herb like Cascara Sagrada for someone who wanted to lose weight to just help to move all of that? And are you of the position that it is waste and not just, you know, just somebody might be saying, you know, oh, I'm big boned or whatever, that waste can be moved, and once that's moved, the weight will automatically come down?
Yes, it is waste. I'll agree with that, because most of the food that we eat is waste, and we eat it and it turns to waste in our body, and it just because we don't exercise enough and move enough, it just sits there and it creates inflammation and we swell up. Once you get that inflammation down, I think I would prefer, knowing what I know now, I think I would prefer the vitamin C flush as opposed to the Cascara initially. Maybe at some point, if you have a really a harsh problem, like if it's turned to a rock in the colon or something and it ain't going to move, then you might want to use the Cascara, the vitamin C to soften it up, and the Cascara to move it. But that is the process of the herbs. The thing is, just don't overdo them. Start slow and add it as you go. And when you get the result that you want, then you kind of feel for what your body needs, and you know how to take it and what to take. You don't want to take too much or overdo it when you take the Cascara, because it's been said that the Cascara can weaken the bowel, but I would say that that's if you're taking something to make you go to the bathroom, is I would say do it sparingly, maybe 3 months out of the year, something like that, and try to eat right, change your diet, eat more raw, more vegetables or fruit or whatever, grains, nuts, seeds, what the body needs, the fiber, give the body the fiber that it needs to regulate on its own, and try to keep it moving that way. And if you need the Cascara or something to get you there, then do it that way, I would say, as opposed to just doing the cascara by itself, particularly if you're not exercising, you're not eating right, you just don't want to get up and start taking cascara. That can turn you against taking anything because it may not be very comfortable. So you want to work toward getting your body to work on its own, and you do that through the food that you're eating. And you have to, if you're having a problem, the frequency of the food that you're eating is too low. You want to get it up, find a food to get up that frequency, or start eating foods to increase that frequency, or include more herbs in the diet because that's what herbs do, and you'll find that your body will respond on its own.
So let's take another one. Let's take somebody that may be dealing with cancer. Now, I know you're high on Padiaco. Was there a particular dosage that you gave your mother working with the Padiaco, or just as recommended on the label in the capsules that you would? I assume you were taking the capsules. Was it the capsules that you were taking, or were you doing the tea?
It was a buck tea. We made the tea.
Okay.
But that day, later they came out with the capsule. But it was a tea, and you steep it and you drink it. You can drink up to 15 cups a day. I don't think it's if you're having a real problem, and it really doesn't matter what you call it. It can be arthritis, it can be cancer, it can be diabetes. They all come from a lack of oxygen in the body because the food that we eat is lacking oxygen. We don't breathe, we don't exercise, and we don't move. And when you get sedentary, your oxygen level drops. And that is what the problem is. It's not a named disease that you're dealing with. It's a condition that you're living in, and you're not getting enough oxygen in the body. If you get the right oxygen in the body, you will never get sick, and you wouldn't have any problems with your health. But because we don't know how to oxidize the body or get more oxygen in the body, that's where we get sick. So if we can learn how to increase that frequency, when you increase that frequency, that's what you're doing. You're increasing the oxygen in the body. You are getting the right food to the body. Your body will respond, and you can avoid getting sick by just increasing the oxygen level in the body. So it don't matter what the disease is. If you can get your oxygen level up, it's going away.
And the oxygen in the body is the oxygen that's getting into the body. The goal is so that the oxygen you're getting the oxygen in the body so that the oxygen can get to the cell. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I mean,
we're
talking about getting down to the cellular level, that the oxygen that you're intaking through the food that's being extracted, you know, that when it's going through the assimilation and the digestion process, is so that the oxygen can actually get to the cell. Is that the goal?
Well, that's why we eat raw. When you eat raw, and not raw meat or not raw potato chips, but when you eat raw fruits, grains, nuts, and seeds as best you can, that's what you are doing. You are taking oxygen into the body. You're giving the body oxygen that it needs. It's pulling that oxygen out of the food that you're eating. The problem, most of the food that we have is dead. When dead on arrival, you go to McDonald's, that stuff been, who knows how long that stuff been laying around. There's no oxygen in it. So when you eat it, you're not getting it. It's going to kill you as opposed to give you life. So you want to eat live enzyme food if you want to get oxygen in the body. And if you do that, you can avoid most disease and most conditions that we suffer with.
Well, Brother Coy, somebody might say, you know, I hear the benefits of being a vegetarian or a vegan. I understand it, but it just costs too much. You know, I've heard that vegetarians, I mean, just that food just costs so much more than, you know, the regular stuff that I'm used to getting. What would you say to somebody that says it costs more?
I would say, what do you base that on? I mean, do you have any proof of that? Can you prove to me that it costs more to eat right than to eat wrong? I mean, how about dying? How much did that cost you? You know, you have to think through things in a way that why would you eat garbage and die from eating the garbage when you can eat right and maybe eat less?
Good point. That's a good point. That's an excellent point, as a matter of fact. You know, I think a lot of people haven't even thought about the fact that if you eat right, that you will more than likely eat less because you won't be as hungry all the time because you're not getting the empty carbs.
There you go. Just think about what you're saying sometimes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. We're talking about herbs. Okay, we're in the middle of a series on the fundamentals of health. I hope you're enjoying this conversation. I know I am. No side effects to herbs, Brother Coy? I mean, because, you know, people saying, well, if I make this transition from, I mean, you look at these commercials that come on television and they say, okay, such and such, you take this, it may increase your blood pressure, you know, blur your vision, or, you know, all, give you diherea, all kinds of stuff. Any side effects to herbs?
The only thing with the herbs is you may go through a little bit of a crisis in terms of pushing all that stuff out, but once you clear the body and get alkaline enough and get more oxygen in the body, there's no side effects. You're only going to get more energy, more life. The sooner in life you can get that, the better you're going to be. So can you imagine what it would be like if you had a child that you could feed the way you wanted to feed as best you know how? Can you imagine what kind of child you would have by the time they get 40? They would just be getting out the cradle. So yeah, you could change all that if you would just started doing what we know to do and not being influenced by everybody and everything around us.
You know what's so interesting, Brother Coy? I'm listening to you, and I'm looking at the phone lines, and they're lit. And it's okay that nobody's decided they want to join the conversation. That's fine. Maybe just listening and soaking all this information up, and that's fine. I'm just happy you're here listening. But isn't it amazing, and I'm talking to the listeners now, that here you are, and because I think it's amazing for myself, here I am, here we are, having a discussion about holistic health. I mean, about eating right, about herbs, about fasting, about the fundamentals of health, and finding it interesting, you know. I mean, because if you think about where you were, say, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, or whatever, you know, you might, if somebody would have told you that in 25 years, 30 years, you're going to be listening to a show on holistic health and listening to a brother talk about the fundamentals of health and talking about herbs, you might have thought, nah, I doubt it very seriously. But here we are. Isn't life interesting? Here we are having a discussion about holistic health, and you're here, and you tuned in on purpose. You know, it's not like you were just, you know, scanning the channels and you accidentally found the show. You actually tuned in on purpose to hear this. So if you tuned in on purpose to hear this, then you're not here by accident. You know, there's a reason that you tuned in. Either this information is for you, or it's for somebody that you know, you know. So first, again, I want to thank all of the listeners for taking time out of your day to spend it with my person and King Coy Dunstan. And I want to make sure that you know how you can get in contact with Brother Coy if for whatever reason there's a situation that you're dealing with and you don't want to necessarily discuss it on the air. Brother Coy does do phone consultations, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you would like to get some herbs, or he does have an establishment, he can tell you all about that, the products that they sell. And, you know, there's no one particular brand that we endorse. It's whatever you need, okay, whatever you need. If he has it, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're overseas or, you know, stateside, he can get it to you, okay? So, Brother Quick, could you tell the listeners about Secrets of Nature? Awesome establishment. I've been there, and every time I come, I don't want to leave. But could you tell the listeners about Secrets of Nature, what you do over there, and, you know, how they can get in contact with you?
Well, we are located at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest in Washington, D.C. That's the southwest side of Southeast. We're coming in on 210 north off of 495, about 2-3 miles in. I'm on that side of town over there across from AutoZone. We open from 8 to 6, and we do full menu. We try to provide transitional foods, people that are trying to make this transition into the vegetarian diet and trying to find some decent food, we try to provide that. We have the supplements in whatever form you like, bulk, capsules. We have skin care products. And we try to make them available through the mail, or you can come in and pick them up, or however you want to do that. Hopefully, we'll be, by the next show, we'll have our website up, and you'll be able to maybe get a better idea of the store and what we do on from the website. But we're working on that. And we want to invite people, if they're coming through this way, you know, a lot of people come through this area. You know, if you want to stop and have something to eat, just stop. If you don't want to sit down and eat, just pick it up and take it with you. If you got some questions, you can call me 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. If you don't get an answer, just leave a message and say, well, you know, call me. I want to talk to you about this or that or whatever, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. And if you think it's taking too long, just call us back. Usually we'll answer the phone, but sometimes we'll get a little busy during lunchtime or something like that and not able to answer the phone, or on the phone with someone else, and we don't have a switchboard that we go through. So just leave a message. We'll get back to you. And if you have a need or any questions or want to order something, just call 202-562-0041 or stop by 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20032. Be glad to sit with you or talk with you, serve you a meal.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Coy, before we go, could you share about the importance, I guess, of this process, that it takes time? You know, because people, we are a very results-oriented people as humans. We want results. Okay, so if somebody is listening to this show and they're dealing with a condition and this show gives them hope, you know, the hope is in the results. You know, the hope is that, you know, if I do this, if I make this change, are you telling me that if I let go of this meat, this dairy, this sugar, if I stop using this microwave, if I start fasting, if I start exercising, if I start drinking more water, if I start taking herbs, you mean to tell me that this condition that I have, I can get rid of it? And what do you say to those who say, listen, I have this condition, and I've had this condition, and I've tried it. I've tried fasting, or maybe they haven't tried fasting. Or I've tried herbs, or maybe they've tried everything but herbs, or they tried everything but fasting, or they tried everything but letting go of the microwave. You know, I've tried these things. I've made some steps, but it's every time I go back to the doctor says my condition is still here. You know, what do you say to those people?
Because I would say, if you want to stay where you are, then you're going to always have your condition. You can't keep doing the same thing expecting a different result. If you want to correct the condition in your body, then you're going to have to do what it takes to do that. And just start one piece at a time. Don't try to do it all at once. Just start with maybe eliminating something you know you shouldn't be doing. We have this problem in this society. We are throwaway consumption. We, you know, unless we can use something one time and throw it away, we don't want it. And it creates a situation where we want everything right now. No delayed gratification, no delayed results, none of that. We want it right now. And that's why so many of us are addicted to we have this addictive behavior that we're in. And you have to come to the realization that if you want to break that addiction, you're going to have to do something other than what you've been doing to do that. And the best thing and the best way to do that is to just begin to fast. If you can't do a 30-day fast right now, do a one-day fast and increase it as you go, and just take small steps and count your successes and build on those. And before you know it, you'll be where you want to be, and it's over with.
speaking of fasting, I mean, that's a very powerful piece. And while you're fasting, I'm sure the court would recommend possibly that you even take herbs, or you can drink herbs while you're fasting.
Oh, absolutely.
For those,
yeah.
Absolutely, huh? You say
yes.
Herbs would be a powerful boost to your fast, huh?
Absolutely. It would get you through it. In fact, you may want to start that before you actually go into a fast, because when you fast, you want your body as clean as it can be before you start your fast. Otherwise, it may be a bad trip for you, because you're going to get dizzy in the head and you're going to be sick and you'll never want to fast again and never want to hear the word again. But if you take the time to take it in steps, be pragmatic and be patient and begin to do the right thing, drinking the water, the eating right, just do that first, and then when you do the feel like you've detoxed enough, then you're ready to take a fast. That's when you're ready to take a fast. So you just can't get up and fast. I wouldn't recommend it, because most of us are not ready for that, and it can rather be detrimental to your health. So you got to start with first things first, and then build on it until you get to the place where you want to be.
You know, I want to just add before we go to the people, just speaking of fasting and those people there, maybe people who listen to this show, I'm sure there are, that are regular fasters, and then you may have people that are listening to the show that have just never tried it. You know, they've done everything else. You know, they're drinking more water, they've increased the water, they've started exercising, they, you know, have let go of certain things, stop eating the red meat, and, you know, maybe even stop eating meat altogether, but just may have never tried a fast, you know. So the people who are listening, have you ever tried fasting? I mean, have you really ever really tried fasting the right way, preparing for it, saying, okay, I'm going to go into this fast and really fast? I mean, and really do it. Have you ever really done it? And what about, Coy, those whose doctors, maybe under a doctor's care, and the doctor says that, okay, I've got this medication that I'm prescribing to you, but it should only be taken with food. How does that person fast if they're under a doctor's care and the doctor's prescribing medication for them that is to be taken with food, you know, because, of course, the doctor's not assuming that you're going to be fasting. If you're going to his office, he's not going to assume that you're a faster. But if you decide that you want to fast, how does that person fast if the medication they're supposed to be taking is to be taken with food?
Well, number one, they should make up their mind that they don't want to be on the medication, and that's the best way to get off of it, is to go into a fast. But again, you need to know how to do that, and you should talk to someone or read a book or learn how to go about doing that before you just up and do it. And if you got a doctor that won't support you in that, you know, look around until you find a doctor or someone that will understand what you're saying and will support you in it and give you what you need to do that. But as long as you're taking the medication, you'll never be well and you'll never fast, because it's almost impossible to do both. To take the medication and fast, you're defeating the purpose. If you're fasting,
wow,
your body is in a healing state. You're going into a rejuvenation fast. When you really get into a fast, if you have a condition, if you really go into the fast correctly, the whole purpose of the fast is to get rid of the disease so you don't have to take the medication. And if you do it properly, that can happen.
Even with something like high blood pressure? Because somebody might say, you know, hey, if I don't take my medication, my blood pressure is going to spike and I ain't trying to, you know, have a heart attack or a stroke out here.
Well, if you like I say, you got to consider your condition. If you have high blood pressure, number one, you're going to have to set aside time that you can slow down enough for your pressure to come down, and you're going to have to start substituting the food that you eat with food that will help you bring that pressure down. You can take the herbs to help bring the pressure down, and you can monitor yourself until you get to a place to where you don't need the medication. But you just can't up and do that. If your pressure is up to 200 or something, you're not going to just fast. You're going to have to do something first to get that pressure down. And first of all, decide why your pressure is so high. Is it because you're drinking too much, you're smoking too much, you're stressed out? Stop that. Just stop it. That's all you got to do. That could be your fast. Just stop it. And then you can begin to detox and get rid of your need to take anything at all. That's where you want to go.
You know, Brother Quay, I really appreciate you, and I appreciate the extra time that you've given today. And just lastly, if you could just talk for a moment just about the how do I want to say this? When people come to a situation and they find themselves, many people that may be dealing with health challenges today never thought that the challenge that you're experiencing right now is one that you would ever experience. I mean, nobody can tell you what you're experiencing, and nobody can, you know, so you might think nobody understands, you know, like they say, nobody understands the trouble I've seen, that nobody understands what you've gone through,
right?
You know, and you yourself never thought that one day you would find yourself in this situation. And Coy mentioned that with his mother, that she went through a process of being, you know, I guess, you know, of course, sad, disappointed, mad, you know, about this, how she found herself, how she came to be in this situation, you know, based on, I guess, how she lived her life, you know, based on the fact that she thought she was a good person, she knew she was a good person, you know, all these things, yet she found herself in this situation. And to those who are listening, if you have found yourself in a situation and you realize that, okay, I've been angry that I'm in this situation, I've cried because I'm in this situation, I've been sad because I'm in this situation, I resent the fact that I'm in this situation, but you have to get to a point where, like Coy's mother got and said, you know what, I'm going to live. I am going to beat this thing. It's not going to beat me. I am going to overcome this. I know there's a God, and I know that there's nothing impossible, that if I give the body what the body needs, God made the body so that if I give it what it needs, it will heal itself. Brother Coy, lastly, could you give hope to the people that might be, have found themselves where they're at the point where your mother was? They might not have gotten the report that they've got 5 weeks or 6 weeks to live, but they may have gotten the report that they've got cancer. They may have gotten the report that they've got diabetes, high blood pressure, whatever, heart trouble, you know, whatever the case is, and they're ready. They're ready to make that change. What now?
Well, I say you can't operate out of fear, number one. If you operate out of fear, you're going to die. So you have to come to a place to where you have your God and your spirit to carry you and hold you to a place to where you need to take you to a place where you need to go. And so, number one, get rid of the fear. Don't think that your doctor know everything, and don't be so quick to do what they say do. To take your responsibility for yourself and begin to do what you know you need to do. You, until you can get to that place, no pill, no doctor, no naturopath or anyone else going to be able to do anything for you until you accept the responsibility for yourself. And once you accept that responsibility, then people will open up and help you through the process, and all you have to do is trust and believe, and it's done.
Everybody, make sure that you give Brother Coy a call, 202-562-0041. You have questions, you have concerns, you want to get over there, taste some vegetarian food, vegan food. If you've never had it before, it is delicious. Wherever you are in the world, it doesn't matter. You could be in Boston, you could be in Cleveland, you could be in Maryland, you could be in Tennessee. It doesn't matter. If there's something that you need, Brother Coy, give him a call, see if he's got it, and he can ship it to you if necessary, okay? So for everybody, thank you so much for your time. I do certainly appreciate it. Again, it blows my mind. I'm looking at a phone bank that's full of calls, and I know that everybody on this call enjoyed this conversation and probably never thought that they would be sitting listening to a show on holistic health. You know, it blows my mind that I'm hosting a show on holistic health, but I'm glad to do it, glad to share people like Brother Coy with you. Make sure that you give him a call, and continue to follow this series. Again, we're in the middle of a series, The Fundamentals of Health. Today we talked about the herbs. The last show we did was on fasting. We did a show on digestion, elimination, and assimilation. You got to check that out. Awesome, awesome shows with Brother Coy. He's all throughout the archives. All you have to do is just scroll down. And again, if you just tuned in and you're listening online and you'd like to follow the show, or if you tuned in by phone and you'd like to follow the show, all you have to do is go to just Google Jawanza, that's J-A-W-A-N-Z like zebra A, the number 4, life, and then you'll be connected to a show, a link, Health, Wealth, and Divine, okay? That's us. Okay, all you have to do is just click follow, and every time I do a show, you'll be notified of the guest, the date, the time, and the topic, okay? So, Brother Coy, man, again, powerful, powerful show. Thank you so much for the extended time that you gave us again this week. Wow, I don't know what to say except everybody make sure that you give Brother Coy a call and tune in next month, second Thursday. Okay, we're going to be continuing the series on the fundamentals of health, okay, with King Coy Dunstan. Again, I'm going to give the number one more time. You should know it by heart. Put it on your refrigerator. Write his name up there so every time you go in your refrigerator, you'll think about Coy before you get out what you're going to get out of that refrigerator. 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. Brother Coy, I really appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much for being my guest again today. Awesome show. Powerful, powerful information. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to sit with you and chat. Thank you.
Right. Until the next time, brother, be well.
You same. Peace to you.
Peace. Everybody, that is King Coy Dunstan. Again, my name is Jawanza. Again, everybody, look, again, wow, here we are. Me, you, Brother Coy, talking about holistic health, listening about holistic health. Here we are. You think it's an accident? I don't think so. Because you know what? It's not just you, me, and Coy, and all the other listeners. God is here too. Did you hear what I said? God is here too. So it's all of us. We're all in this thing together. Okay? And so, maybe God was speaking to somebody today. He just used this show as the vehicle through which to get you the information that you needed. Maybe this show could be the answer to a prayer. Or maybe it could be the answer to a prayer of somebody that you know. Okay? So I just want to say thank you. Okay? For another opportunity to be able to share another lifesaver, another life changer with you. And for those of you who have made changes in your life, but you're not where you want to be, congratulations. And I mean that. Congratulations for the steps that you have made. It's not easy to change your life. It is not easy to change your life because we have a life outside of this show, right? After this show, we're going right on back to our life, right? To the other people involved in our life, to our mates, to our family, to our friends. We're going right back to them, right? And everybody in your life, in your circle, might not be on this path. That's right. Everybody in your circle might not be on this path. So what do you do after you hear a show like this and then you go back to your world and the other people in your world, they don't care nothing about this stuff, right? They don't care nothing about holistic health, right? You're trying to talk to your family members and they don't really want to hear it, right? That's why this show was created. So that you have a place to go when you want to talk about holistic health or listen to other people share on holistic health, doctors and healers, or, you know, you've gotten on a spiritual path and you want to talk about spirituality. You want to talk about people that are talking about the spirit and God and, you know, how to make that connection between you and the divine. And that's why this was created, so that you have a place to go. Well, you can't talk to anybody else. You can always come here. We got done shows with Dr. Ra'un Nefer Amen Shaka Mashaka of the Oseraset Society, priestess and priests from the Oseraset Society. We've done series with Orwa, Dr. Orwa, Hehi Meduran Kamen, Hekshim Suheru, Shaka Meyam Nater, We've done shows with Shechem Tam Hetrahem Ma'at. I mean, shows with Queen Mother Mashtai Amen. I mean, just show after show after show. We've got shows with Dr. Ruby Lason, Dr. Ted Watkins, Queen Afua. We've got shows, you like entertainment? We've got shows with Melba Moore. We've got shows with Suge Avery, Brother Lou Gossett Jr. I mean, all of these shows are in the archives. So if you find that this is the place that you like to be, welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to make your acquaintance. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.